Today on Real Radio.
One man brought the gospel to China. And from Hudson Taylor's 30 plus years of ministry, one man was converted. One in 30 years. I would have quit. 30 years, one man converted, Hudson Taylor dies. That one man becomes responsible for leading millions of people to Christ.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're hearing a mini-series by Pastor Jack called Living Life the Hard Way. Now, if you're already on board with these lessons taken from 1 Samuel chapter 8, you know that that's what they're all about. Life's lessons that are learned the hard way. Well, here's the silver lining. If you look deeply enough, the passage also provides encouragement, especially if you've got that rebellious child who wants nothing at all to do with God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing his mini-series in 1 Samuel chapter 8. It's called Living Life the Hard Way.
Another thing in verse 5, we see that the leaders who are obviously commanding the nation, that the nation itself begins to be corrupt. It says in verse 5, and they said to him, that is Samuel, look, you're old and your sons do not walk in your way. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Their excuse is lame. We want to have a leader that we can touch and feel and see, one that we can relate to. Make us a king. What a strange request. Make us a king. That's what they're asking for. And it all begins, listen, it all begins with the children, the two boys, that manifested to the leadership, that manifested to the nation. If you keep reading, and we shall, Samuel, and go through these two books of Samuel, the entire nation will become corrupt. The entire nation will be led into judgment. Where did it begin? With two men who failed to take the reins from their father. You say, Jack, you know, that's just the Bible story. Wait a minute. If you go to Germany, one of the very, very sad things that you'll experience today among the older people is that they're carrying a heavy load upon them, and they will apologize to you as a German for Adolf Hitler's antics. How could one man take a nation, a world, almost to the brink of disaster? One man. It's been said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Don't laugh that off. Hudson Taylor, one man, brought the gospel to China. And from Hudson Taylor's 30 plus years of ministry, one man was converted. One in 30 years. I would have quit. 30 years, one man converted, Hudson Taylor dies, that one man becomes responsible for leading millions of people to Christ. One man, one woman can change the course of human history, all because God can govern over your heart. The tragic thing is you and I approach God and we have this, it can't happen with me attitude. God wants to do radical things in your life. He wants to do it with us. And the nation began to decline. And they asked this horrible thing, Samuel, give us a king. Make us a king like all the other nations. The family, listen, the church, the nation will go in the same groove, the same path. How is Calvary Chapel? How is this church? It's only as strong as the families that are represented in this church. You say, well, you know, what's my... Nobody even knows our names. This church is as strong as your family is. Now, some of you are saying, praise the Lord. Some of you are saying, oh. But here's the awesome thing. God's word has been given for our learning. Where are we right now in our families? It can change tonight. Where are we with our church? It can change tonight. Can the nation change tonight? Absolutely. God said, if my people who are called by my name will seek my face and pray. He goes on to say, I will hear from heaven. Well, let me ask you, when does he hear? The moment his people seek his face. I am afraid that we don't believe God anymore. But yeah, we trust him for the big one. You know what the big one is? The big one is heaven. Just get me there, God. But we're living like paupers now. We just get by in a spiritual sense when we should be great in our exploits for God. Daniel 11:32 tells us that those who know their God shall carry out great exploits. Where? In heaven? What are we going to do there? Can't evangelize anybody. They're all saved. You can't take care of the homeless. Everybody's got a mansion. It's here. It's now. By the way, Daniel 11 is in the context of the days of the Antichrist yet to come. And those who know their God will carry out great exploits. How much more shall we be able to carry out great exploits now? But listen, the family, the church shouldn't look anything like the world. They're asking for Israel to look like just as the world does. God says, no, that was never his desire. The family should look altogether different than what the world portrays family. Have you seen how the world portrays family? Gee whiz. What a freaked out mess the world depicts the family as. A joke. Have you noticed on these sitcom things? I hope you haven't noticed. I hope you don't even watch them. But you can learn everything about it from the little clip. Watch so-and-so tonight at 7. It's idiocy. And rarely is there, if at all, a normal family. In fact, if there is somewhat of a normal family in the program that I'm thinking about, I've watched it twice, it's not normal, is Seventh Heaven. Everybody watches it because it's so unique. I watch it and get all bent out of shape because that pastor looks like he's got all the time in the world. I got news for you. That is the Hollywood version of the pastor. That guy's available for everybody at every moment. Gee whiz. That guy gives my calling a bad rap. He just sits around and waits for a crisis to happen. Anyway, we have to keep going because we're going to get this chapter done. We're not going to do a part 3 on this one. Listen, the way of the world is the way without God. The way of the world is a nation without God. And the way of the world is a family without God. There is an absolute venture in screenwriters and authors of books. There is a demonic effort to dismantle the family, the nation, the home. Know it. Understand that. Why? Make America that was once great like all the other nations of the world. That's the cry right now. They're asking for America to become like all the other nations. If you go into the international community and say that Jesus Christ is Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, you're going to be expelled and thrown out. You can't talk about things like that. Because so goes the world. They want the other nations to go the same way. They want the church to go the same way. They want the family to go the same way. What are we hearing today? We want a unified ecclesiastical church family. We want all the faiths to be one. You know that it will never happen. The Antichrist is going to try it through the workings of the false prophet, but it's not going to last. When you begin to hear things like Allah is the same God of Jehovah of the Bible and the Adam God of the Mormon faith is the same God as the Jehovah group and the Muslims, it's the same God. This is what people are saying. And if you say anything different, you are not tolerant, which is an abuse of that English word. If you look up in the original 1828 dictionary of Noah Webster, the word tolerant means to stand at peace with civility in the face of another person who holds a different view, that you respect them though you don't agree with them. That's what the word tolerant means. But we've twisted it to think that whatever I believe in, you've got to swallow, but don't you dare, buck against the system or say something that's different. That's not the word tolerant. We swallow this through the media. It's tragic. The leaders of Israel are saying, make us like all of the other nations. And I fear for the United States. Now listen, I am not necessarily an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican. I am a monarchist. I've told you that before. I believe in a kingship. I believe in a ruling, reigning king. I've already voted for him about 23 years ago on a Monday night when I gave my heart to him. I believe in King Jesus. And there will not be an absolute perfect world until he comes back. And I understand that. But keep this in mind. The Christian church at this time in human history should be the witness that Israel was supposed to be for these last 2,000 years. We should be the ones affecting the nations of the world to encourage them that there is one greater than their leaders, though you pray for those leaders, and that is God Almighty. But we tiptoe around, and that's a very tragic thing. No, we don't want to be like all the other nations. Israel was to be unique. Article 1 of the Bill of Rights says this: Congress shall make no law respecting, by the way, again, in English, 1828 dictionary, the word means interfering. Congress shall make no law interfering in an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's called the separation of church and state. Our founding fathers put that as article number 1 of the Bill of Rights, stating that the government shall not dictate to the church in any way, shape, or form how to conduct its business at all. That it shall not interfere whatsoever. Is that what you hear on modern day TV? People sit back and swallow the new revisionist historian view. But the founding fathers, and if you read the Bill of Rights, if you read the Declaration of Independence, and if you read the Constitution, you will come to the absolute conclusion that God came number one first in their thinking. If you say no to that, then you've never read them, because I've read them. God's all over it. And people say, well, I wish the church would just stay out of governmental affairs. You know what? Amen. And I wish that the government would stay out of church affairs. Because you know what? The church can affect the world by falling on its face and praying to God who governs over governments. If my people will only pray. The third point that we consider tonight, living life the hard way. If a family is going off, the community will go off. The nation will go off. Living life the hard way also in verses 6 through 18 really genders and brings about separation from God. Listen, verses 6 and 7, they wanted a remedy. They wanted it man's way. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not judge or reign over them. We need to recognize what these people are asking. They're basically saying, listen, Samuel, we've heard about our history. We've heard about all the stories. We've seen all the historical biblical sites. History means nothing to us. We're concerned about our future. And that's what we want to know about. So give us a king like all the other nations. They had heard everything that God had done. They didn't care. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. If you stand up, if this nation stands up, if this church stands up, if we were to go out, listen, and I'll hear the silence in this sanctuary right now. If we went out on the street corner right now and said, abortion is wrong, you're going to get silent. You're going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to say, well, how bigoted can he be? And yet I can point to scriptures that say that abortion is wrong. But people won't do it. It's wrong. God calls it murder. God says he's there inside the womb at the creation of a child. He says he's putting the parts together. David says that you were there with me, God, in the inward parts of my mom. You put me all together. In the book of Micah, there the prophet says, shall I give the fruit of my womb for my iniquity? Modern day definition of what's taking place. Listen, can God and does God and will God forgive abortion? Of course he does. Will God forgive murder? Of course he does. Listen, for all of us, the Bible says we're all liars. Did you know that? The Bible says all of us have lied. Does God equate abortion greater than lying? Not at all. It's all equal to him. It's the same to him. See, we're like Mrs. Johnson in the fifth grade. She'll grade on a curve. God doesn't grade on a curve. Well, look, your neighbors came in at 83. You came in. Hey, we're going to kick the scale over. You're all right. He doesn't do that. He's holy. He's pure. We all need him. We're all guilty of something. And we need his saving grace. But we have to be careful because they wanted an earthly remedy to a great sin. And it doesn't happen that way. Compromising their future, their children, their nation. Israel's rejection at the moment that Jesus presented himself to Israel on Palm Sunday. Their rejection of Israel. Look at history. Israel rejected Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday. Look what happened. Look at the historical events of Israel that followed. Just as the prophet Isaiah said, if they rejected him, the nation would be sent into diaspora, that is dispersed throughout all of the earth. And look what happened. But Jesus, as he's carrying his own cross on that Good Friday, the Bible says there in Luke 23, 28, Jesus, turning to the women of Israel, said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Why? Because when God is rejected in a home, in a society, in a nation, judgment comes. It's God's law. It's God's rule. He wants to forgive a nation. He wants to heal a nation. But that nation can so resist against God that in time he has to turn his back in judgment. Verses 8 and 9, we see here that God knows the heart. It says in verse 8, according to all that the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even to this day. That's heavy. God is saying, they've rebelled against me since the day I brought them out of Egypt. They've been fighting me. Eesh. With which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Verse 9, now therefore heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. Can I change the words a little bit? You shall solemnly warn them because this is what human government gives. You want to be like all the other nations of the world? All righty. Here it comes. The tragedy of human government. There is no perfect government until Jesus comes. Isn't it wild? Isn't it awesome? Jesus will establish the only one perfect government that will ever be, and that's the millennium when Jesus comes. But God knows the heart. He knows the heart more than we know ourselves. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10, Jeremiah 17, 9 says, the heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God knows the heart. Thirdly, under this point, verses 10 through 18, living life the hard way separates us from God, and that rejection of God bankrupts a people. Here comes the nature of human government. This is going to sound familiar. This is going to sound like our current energy crisis. Verse 10, so Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. Number one, he will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his own horsemen, and so will run before his chariots. Number two, he will appoint captains over his thousands, captains over his fifties. Number three, he will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest and take some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. Number four, he will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. Number five, he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive and grain, or your groves, excuse me, and give them to his servants. Number six, he will take a tenth of your grain and of your wine and give it to his own officers and servants. Verse 16 brings us to number seven. He will take your male servants and your female servants, your finest young men and your donkeys, and put them to his work. Number eight, he will take a tenth of your sheep. Number nine, and you will be his servants. Number 10, He's going to make you cry. You will cry out that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Why? Jot it down. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 are written to the believer. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. There the scripture says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you." That's written to the believer. That's why, here's the good news though, hang on. Here's the good news, 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from most all unrighteousness." Isn't that great? So if you're sitting here bummed tonight, you're only listening to half the story. I can't believe you used the word sin 7 times tonight. That's 8 if you're counting. But God says, if you confess to my son, I'll take it all away. So if you leave this place tonight with sour grapes, that's your thing. God says, hey, bring me your sin. I love to convert it to righteousness. It's what I do. He's good about it. He's faithful about that. Fourth and final point, we'll end here. Verses 18 to 22 teaches us living life the hard way. It conforms you to the way of the world. It conforms you to the way of the world. Verses 19 to 22. "Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, 'No, but we will have a king over us, that we also, listen, may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles.' And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord, so that the Lord said to Samuel, 'Heed their voice and make them a king.' And Samuel said to the men of Israel, 'Every man go home. Go to your own city. Go home.'" Why? In conclusion, God desired among his people a theocracy, that he would be the leader, that he would be the ruler. That does not exist any longer, except one place on earth, and that is the church. The church should be a manifestation of the theocracy of God. It is wrong when a church operates like the world. When the church has got its presidents and CEOs and its executive branch of this ministry and that, when the world begins to adopt and look just like, when the church looks just like the world, it's a horrible moment. Everybody in the church, even the one who stands behind a wooden pulpit, should be humbled by God's presence and work.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Living Life the Hard Way. In fact, this is a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapter 8, a chapter in Israel's history that is amazing, sad, and yet encouraging. We'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now get your pen and paper ready. We've got some contact info we'll have for you in just a minute, but first,
the world has got fears today. And you, Christian, are the only one that has the right answer for them.
In 1 Peter chapter 4, we're told to be prayerful, vigilant, and knowledgeable in God's word because we are in the last days.
Can you hold up your compass, your Bible? This is your compass for today.
With compass in hand. It's part of Pastor Jack's lessons called the Get Ready Series, a collection of studies related to Bible prophecy.
Therefore, three things he lists: be serious, watchful, in your prayers. So be praying.
For your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD called With Compass in Hand.
Your God knows the future in advance. He doesn't keep it to himself. He's revealed it in the Word of God, which came through the prophets.
Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and then click on the button on the right that says Special Offer, realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.